the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Checking in at
number five.
The president welcomed the 2019 National College Football Champions Louisiana State Tigers to the White House today. As we know, LSU defeated the Clemson Tigers. It was Tiger on Tiger crime, is what that was there.
Wow.
Clemson Tigers by a score of 42-25. 42-25. Who had that in the pool? Anybody?
Well, I can tell you, I'll tell you really quickly, the over-under was 66.5, and when it got to 67, I texted Kev, what an easy victory for the over. They never scored any more points the rest of the game on either side.
Not that there's any gambling
for information purposes only.
Yes,
newsman.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you, Richard Roper. Not only famed film critic and White Sox historian, but the man is also knows a little something about the gambling. You wrote books on that, too,
didn't you? Bet the House, available still to this day on the Amazon.
There you go.
Bet the House.
There you go. All right. This is the president. I love this. The president praising the LSU Tigers and talking about their proclivities.
LSU held Oklahoma to their lowest total yards in a single game since 2015. I'm sure they weren't happy. As wide receiver, Justin Jefferson had 14 receptions for 227 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns. A college football playoff record. Where is Justin? He's going to be so rich. Oh, we're looking at money. And this guy, Chase, wherever the hell he is, he was catching. Where the hell is Chase? He was catching balls all over the place. You guys are going to make so much money.
I love a message to the collegiate athletes.
Jeez.
Exactly. All right, kids, I'm glad you got your degrees. Yep. Well, you know, he is a realist.
Yeah.
There's an excerpt of a book that's coming out next week that has been dropped here that was written by some Washington Post reporters about a meeting that the president had with his military leaders soon after he took office. This is not relatively recent because he was with Jim Mattis and Tillerson was the Secretary of State. And it was a tough meeting. But at one point in the meeting, according to this book, and it's not being denied by the people who were in the meeting with him, who are now, you know, civilians. You got Mattis and Tillerson, mm-hmm. people like that. That he suggested that that our military get paid for being wherever they are. Now, he did this on the campaign trail. Remember, this was not. I mean, it's not like he hadn't said it. But the idea of it is we could make so much money if we just. Where these countries were paying for us to be protecting them. And they had to explain, they were trying to explain to him that that's not how it works. Yeah,
they have
there
those
to protect
guys.
Us.
They're called mercenaries. There's movies
right.
about them all the time.
Right. I think the French Foreign Legion did that too, right? They would send them out for, you know, for pay. And it doesn't really work out. I don't know. But I loved his idea. It was so much money. There is so much money to be made doing this.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow's going to make a lot of money, that's for sure.
Oh, that is for sure. Now, the. His father, by the way, Joe Burrow's dad, the quarterback at LSU, who had been a transfer from Ohio State University after Urban Meyer, the head coach at the Ohio State University, had told Joe Burrow that he had wasted a scholarship position on him. He berated him in front of the rest of the team.
He'd always like call him by the wrong name, all those kind of like 1950s coaching tricks, almost trying to get him to quit.
Yeah.
And Nebraska said they didn't want him. Despite him, his dad played at Nebraska. Nebraska's like, nah, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Missed out on
I'll
that one.
I'll show you story. Oh, way to go,
listen,
Joe Burrow.
We can go 4-7 on our own, Nebraska said. Don't you worry about us.
Joe Burrow, future Heisman and top overall draft pick.
Oh, man. Ooh. I got to say, as an Ohio State fan, I am so happy for him. And I'm happy that he proved Urban Meyer wrong. And now I hate Urban Meyer.
Okay.
Sorry. I like the guy who wears makeup on the sidelines now.
Number four.
Former White Sox pitcher, 1993 American League Cy Young winner, Jack McDowell, right? I mean, there's a guy that, well, he was always a pain. That's the one thing I would like to say about him. Has claimed that the White Sox used a camera to steal signs in the 1980s. He was talking to the FNZ, WFNZ in Charlotte, North Carolina. He alleged that the White Sox installed a camera in the outfield to zoom in on the opposing catchers.
We had a system in Old Comiskey Park
in the late 80s. Gatorade sign out in right center had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office and a camera zoomed in on the catcher. Okay? I'm going to whistle blow this now because I'm getting tired of this crap. There's that. There was that. Tony La Russa is the one who put it in. He was also the head, the first team of all the team of people doing steroids, yet he's still in the game making $500,000, you know? No one's going to go after that. It's just the stuff's getting old where they target certain guys and let other people off the hook and, you know, like the media doesn't know that this all happened, what's going on.
Well, now Jack McDowell wasn't on that team, though, that he's talking about, right?
He was not.
Yeah.
He was on the team. I was just looking at it. So his first year was 1987, where he pitched in four games for the Sox. La Russa was done after 86.
Right.
He had moved on.
And he said, we had.
I think he's saying that La Russa put the system in place. It was well known that La Russa put it in place.
Well, I said he was an innovator and a pioneer. That's one of La Russa's,
I guess they did. Well, here's Ron Kittle, who happened to have been on that team, the great Ron Kittle. And he talked to John Williams earlier today on WGN, and this is what he said about the claim.
I tell you what, I played with Jack, and I was on that team, but I don't know anything about a light. I might be the stupidest person in the world because they didn't tell me about it. Maybe they didn't want me to know. I don't know. But I think it's a little upsetting what's going on. You're a Major League Baseball player. You're playing on a professional team, and you have to win. And I am sure for the last 100 years of baseball, somebody always had an edge on somebody. Tipping pitches, I mean, if somebody clicked me and told me a pitch was coming by banging the thing, I would not pay attention to it. I wouldn't even know what the hell. I'm not that quick. I wasn't that good. But
I love Ron Kittle.
Oh, man. All right. Thank you, John Williams, for that. That's pretty interesting. Checking in at
number three.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced its 35th class of inductees. It's a pretty good one, too. And again, every time we do this, I'm like, they're not already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Right, yeah. How about T-Rex? Whitney Houston.
And I will always love you.
The Doobie Brothers. This is the only one that I thought, okay, this would be their first year. Depeche Mode.
So does the pain, was the meaningless and forgettable.
I just can't imagine how these, before the Depeche Mode, how none of these were already in. And then this is another one that's a new entry, one of the first years of contention, Nine Inch Nails. Say this, that rock and roll induction show is one of the best television shows of the year. You know, yes. You talk about your award shows. That I think Grammys are great, and they finally figured out the Grammys. Nobody wants to see the Tejano polka mix person win their award. They just want to see people actually, yeah. You know, a couple big awards and then the music.
But that Hall of Fame one, they distill it down to like 2.5 hours for HBO. It's like 8 or 9 hours, the actual concert. And now they're saying some of the older inductees are fighting to see who gets to play first.
Because they want to go home.
Because they don't want to stay.
Yeah, that's true. All right, and checking in at
number two.
Gonna take my horse
oh, man.
To
Hall of Fame? Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No.
I
got the horses in the bag.
Well, turns out, remember this was the song of the summer, right? We're sort of over it. Sam Elliott, the great Sam Elliott, uses incomparable vocal characteristics to recite the lyrics to Old Town Road in a Western Saloon teaser for an upcoming Super Bowl Live, I like to call it, LIV.
It's very good.
49.
Good one.
For this, it's an upcoming deal. Some big special sort of thing that they got Sam Elliott to do this, and well, here's what it sounded like.
I got the horses in the back. Horse tack is attached. Hat is matte black. I got the boots.
That was an outtake from Star is Born, I think. Lyrics he was trying to get Bradley to Jackson Maine to do.
Here's the mix.
I got the horses in the back. Horse tack is attached. Hat is matte black. Boots is black to match. Riding on a horse. You can whip your horse, y'all. I've been in the valley
You ain't been up off that porch now. Can't nobody tell me nothing.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
We did that for them. That's for a Doritos ad. We fixed it for them right there.
That's Grammy.
All right. We'll get to the cut of the week, which will be number one coming out your way after the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Kim Gordon, which comes your way in 2 minutes. Hello. Okay. All right. I stepped away from the microphone there for a second. I love that.
It's Friday.
Yeah, only certain Democratic candidates could learn to do the same thing.
So funny you should mention that, Richard Roper, because here we have the cut of the week. This is what we do on Fridays. In this little segment here, after the news, we like to share with you the one piece of audio we had of the week that we think is just the most fabulous. Or most interesting, and always actually most funny. And so, therefore, it is...
Number one.
Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have a tete-a-tete after the debate earlier this week.
I think you called me a liar on national TV. I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion, we'll have that
anytime.
Discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Still the best part.
That's so great.
Tom Steyer, who is just one of those guys who wants to be invited.
Yeah.
Right? He's bought his way into this, and he's been running commercials for years, like since the minute that Donald Trump got elected. Tom Steyer's been running a commercial about impeach Trump, right? Which was, he's a little ahead of the curve, and it probably, without question, is one of the reasons that the majority of Americans aren't taking this very seriously, even though it's a presidential impeachment. And there's Steyer, who's just, he's the guy at the party that you want to avoid, right? He's the dude that's it. And Bernie, who's, just about to, those two are about to throw the gloves down.
It's such a circus, the whole thing. It's really entertaining.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good.
Get out of the way.
And by the way, the opening there, too, is what Bernie Sanders responds to anything anyone ever says to him is, huh? And then you got to say it again. You know that when you're going into it, you're like, all right, have it, amped
twice.
Up for a second time.
Yeah.
I think he called me a liar and asked you, huh? Huh? What is she saying?
I can't hear. Although I will say this right now, I'm having a little bit of angina.
like, what is she saying right now to me? I don't know.
I cannot have coffee after 6 o'clock at night because then I cannot sleep. I find that I have that problem, and it is also bad for my bowels.
White House State Dinner will be starting at 3:35 p.m. President Sanders.
Everyone gets a doggy bag to take home.
Right, will there be leftovers?
I'll take the soup to go.
Sherbert for dessert again. It was so great, though. Like, he's like, what? She could have said anything. He's like, why is she talking to me from like 6 feet away?
Now, don't forget, I do love all Bernie Sanders tape, because like I said earlier, Bernie Sanders sounds exactly like he looks and looks exactly like he sounds. Mm. And even going back to before he was a United States senator, he was a local public television host in Vermont, and he wanted to teach the kids about the evils of cocaine.
Do any of the older kids, do you know, have some problems with drugs occasionally?
No.
Who wants to talk to me about that one? What about drugs? Is that a problem?
I like coke.
Okay, do you want to talk about that one? Paula, who said they like coke?
Me.
All right, you tell me about that.
I like Coca-Cola.
Oh, Coca-Cola. All right, but who knows about cocaine? Anyone ever seen cocaine?
Yes.
Not yet. Did you hear that?
Hold it. One at a time. What about cocaine? Good thing, bad thing, what?
Bad.
Bad.
Why is it bad?
Because it has a bad effect on the body.
That's right.
That's right. You have the.
It's amazing.
Now, in Bernie Sanders, this is from 40 years ago.
Yeah, that little kid actually is Tom Steyer, who grew up in the, like as a youngster. He was still trying to interrupt that and couldn't get any acknowledgement from him.
Do you know people who take drugs?
No.
You don't have to tell me who, but I bet you do. Okay. All right. Why do? Hold it. Why do people take drugs? You think they're smart?
No.
They think they're big shots.
That's exactly right. They think they're doing something that's very cool. What, in fact, are they doing? Does anyone know what cocaine does to you?
Yes.
You know, well, what is it? That's right. It screws up your mind and it screws up your body.
It gives you a bump. It gives you this feeling of invincibility. This is a wonderful drug, actually, that people take because it makes you feel very confident in situations you would not otherwise be confident in.
Little
Tommy, isn't that right, kids?
Little Tommy Steyer.
The little kids, like if they know the effect. They're 8 years old. That's the thing.
The album Hotel California would have had only one song without the help of some substance abuse.
Oh, man. All right. We'll roll out the Canarbo wagon with Chief Chicago. But first, let us now talk to Lauren Lapka. She has a raft of problems on the roadways. Take it away.